Yes, it does, and we thank you so much for being with us. Jay Ross, forgot to mention there in that first hour, Kara Lawson is going to join us 1 hour from now. She'll have a front row seat to the Wizards and Kings game tonight, analyst for the Washington Wizards. We got free rounds of golf at three of the area's best public golf courses, Empire Ranch, Turkey Creek, and Teal Bend Golf Clubs. I forgot to mention that. We've got these to give away.
Everybody loves golf.
So we, in fact,
they get to pick a course, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
We better do this now.
Okay.
Because we're we're
we
short
a little
today.
Shorter.
We got a lot of King stuff to cover. As I mentioned, Kara's at 2. So let's give these away right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we will get you set up with this little deal here. Again, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Want to touch on a couple of other things. Ian Rappaport has released a statement from the Giants owners regarding Ben McAdoo, and we'll touch on that. Jason, thanks for the call, man. What do you got for us?
Yeah, hey, guys. One little caveat to this. Think of a team that has perennially been awesome in the NFL and that is going to be needing the quarterback next year. So if you're a quarterback like Kirk Cousins or somebody else that possibly wants to play for another team, Ben Roethlisberger has hinted at retirement, barely came back this year. So they have nobody to back him up.
Yeah.
Think about that. You know, if you're a quarterback and you're kind of in your prime, where would you want to go? Why wouldn't you want to go play for the Roonies and the Steelers?
Yeah, so I mean, as Jay Ross would say, Jason, toys.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's got toys over there. The quarterback who might be going into that situation has lots of toys, and Le'Veon Bell and the emergence of Juju Smith-Schuster, who was 3 yards shy of 100 yards again yesterday. Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's interesting, Jason, in that if you actually believe Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire after this year.
I think so. After that whole allegations that he went through and that he got married kind of rather quickly, he's been there a long time. And for somebody like that, you got to take him at face value. I don't think he would have hinted around at it had he not actually, you know, really felt that. Like, to publicly come out and say he's thinking about retiring, that's a big deal. And so,
no, I agree.
You know what I mean? And like this year, like every year in the past 3 or 4 years, they've always had somebody get hurt, always, and then they end up losing. Like last year, they should have beat the Pats. But, you know, Le'Veon, you know, all of a sudden getting hurt like 3 plays in the game. Come on. He was hurt during practice. I mean, I played college football. I know that there's no way that Le'Veon, you know, was hurt in the game.
He right.
was probably pre-hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was pushed under the rug, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year, it's very well possible they can win the whole thing. I mean, although they looked really shabby yesterday. It was horrible.
Dude, that's some interesting stuff there, Jason. We appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for listening, man. We greatly appreciate it. There are times that the Steelers look disinterested. I feel like they play down to their opponents, particularly on the road.
100% agree, because I was watching part of that game going, what are they doing? Why do they do this to themselves? The loss at Chicago, the day that Ben threw 5 picks to Jacksonville, who, you know, is pretty good. And then this one, I'm going, you know, I was starting to think that Pittsburgh had it figured out. And then they have this game. But in the end, they found a way to win, which was important. I feel like if they are playing Kansas City, New England, the Raiders, Green Bay, you know, like teams that we all think of that are pretty good, they've got their attention, and they play well. But if it's a lesser team, they're not always in it.
Yeah, as Jason was talking, we got another text here at 44-1140, diehard Steelers fan, but do you think the Steelers should look at one of the free agent quarterbacks this offseason? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to explore all options if Ben Roethlisberger is legitimately considering retirement. I think it's one of those things. Are you buying it? Like, do you really think he's ready to walk away? But I just don't know how long you can play with fire like this, because they're better than the Colts. They're significantly better than a lot of teams. And they just,
But if
that's the way they played this.
Yeah.
They're like they're that team with 2 losses where you look at them and go, man, they only got 2 losses because they've looked like crap a whole bunch of times this year.
And if that happens, as Jason, our caller, suggests, it fits right into what you said. I mean, think about the quarterback shuffle that could create, because Pittsburgh still is good and still would be relevant. So if someone jumps there and what open, I mean, it's, I think it'll be like follow the opening.
I would like to change my destination for Kirk Cousins if the Pittsburgh Steelers job becomes available. Because you've got to take that. Any available quarterback that has to be option one. When you talk about, I could be throwing to a 20-year-old kid who literally, I hate using that term when we're talking about athletes. This dude is literally a kid. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown, you have probably the best running back in the National Football League on that team.
If not right there.
And you have the most stable organization, arguably, in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to be destination one. And then everything else, Jacksonville, that's new hotness. And we're not even sure that it's hot yet. We think it is. We're not sure. Minnesota is hot. Dalvin Cook is hot. Stephon Diggs, there's hot stuff there. But we're not sure. Steelers, they're always going to be there. You don't have to worry about coaching changes. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You're pretty well set if you go to Pittsburgh, and that has to be destination number one. And I think, Kirk, you talk about dominoes and shuffles. Kirk Cousins, I think, is the first one.
And I wonder if there will be guys like Mike Glennon this past season who was, hey, as a backup, he's started before. He's a hot commodity. Bears go out and they get him, and, of course, we know how that all played out. But would someone want Case Keenum? Would someone want Brett Hundley? Would someone want, even if they're committed to another team, I just don't know if those guys.
Well, not everybody can get Kirk Cousins. Like, not everybody can get, whoever else may be available. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Bradford, like, Bridgewater.
What is C.J. Beathard's status going to be next year? Like, are they going to look to move him, knowing that they got Jimmy Garoppolo for a long time? What if I'm trying to create a scenario where C.J. plays more games. Let's say they don't put Jimmy out there right away. Let's say Garoppolo plays two more. But he's really, C.J. Beathard plays two more games before they put Jimmy Garoppolo in. What if he plays really well? Then that's another one of those, maybe we can get a draft pick for him. Maybe we can get a mid-round draft pick for him. And I just get this feeling heading into this offseason, we're just going to see something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of player movement, particularly at that quarterback position.
I mean, if Andrew Luck comes back 100%, is Brissett available?
If Andrew Luck comes back at all.
Yeah.
That story got weirder.
Mm-hmm, if possible.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Actually, there's more to touch on with the Colts game and Jacoby Brissett. We'll give you the Andrew Luck story. LeBron James took some digs at Phil Jackson. Lots of NFL notes. We'll get to all of that here in this 1 o'clock hour. If you want to share your best and worst of the weekend, 44-11-40. Is a good spot, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I had mentioned to you that the Giants ownership group had issued a statement. And it's one of the great things, man, that I just love the people who listen to the show so much, because when we're having these conversations, they'll send us links on Twitter or, updates from various different people that we may not have caught right away. Ben McAdoo is our head coach and has our support. We are in the midst of an extremely disappointing season. Our performance this year, particularly the past 2 weeks, is inexcusable and frustrating. While we appreciate that our fans are unhappy with what has occurred, nobody is more upset than we are. That is a bold-faced lie, sir. Mm. Our plan is to do what we always have done, which is not offer a running commentary on the season. It is our responsibility to determine the reasons for our poor performance. At the end of the year, we will evaluate the 2017 season in its entirety and make a determination on how we move forward. Again, that is a statement from the New York Giants ownership. 9 times out of 10, I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't believe that you should or have to fire a coach just because things are going wrong or because the season is completely just devolved into something no one expected.
You're making it sound like this is the 10 out of 10, though.
This is the 10 out of 10. When your team, damn near publicly quits, if they get blown out again next week, does that ownership group tell their fans, hey, only 7 more weeks of this? How do you tell your fans, hey, just continue to pay to come to our stadium, continue to park at our stadium, continue to pay for the hot dogs and the popcorn and the ice cream and the beer and all of that stuff, continue to do that. We know our players have quit. They've given up, 92 points in the last 2 weeks? This is the exception. This is where it's like, they could not have a coach. And I'm not undervaluing a coach here, but this particular coach, they could go out there coachless and perform better than they have the last 2 weeks simply because they'll want to play for each other. When you're working for someone you don't respect, you don't want to win for them.
Yeah.
It's like a coach to me is no different than a boss. Your boss should be able to motivate you to run through a freaking wall. And you know, like, we've all had bosses we don't like or we don't respect. And they leave the room, you roll your eyes. What do you think's happening when Ben McAdoo is standing up at the podium post game following 2 weeks of getting beat up saying stuff like this? They need to go do this. They need to go do that. There's no accountability in his part in that answer right there. I've never heard a coach not say we.
Yeah.
We. Listen to Mike Tomlin talk. We got our ass kicked today.
Or I. Sometimes they'll say, I need to be better. Like, even putting it all on them, even if it's not all on them, but they will. Sometimes the coach will say, I got to look at myself.
Dak Prescott yesterday. Yeah. Dak Prescott didn't have more than 2 seconds to throw the ball half the time he was back there. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. Jason Garrett, we didn't do this. We didn't do that. Ben McAdoo's out there talking about the players like they're some other entity. They got to go get this done. I don't know what you want me to. I'm the coach.
Yeah.
They got to go do this.
I just think I'm closer to the 9 out of 10 with you on this one, that I don't know that a change today makes any difference the rest of the year. And I don't know how you quantify. I feel like because they were 11-5 last year, because they have some expectations, you mix in all the injuries they had, not excuses, but reasons for them. And then now when they're playing so poorly, we can look at it. I don't believe in McAdoo at all. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's no chance he survives. But I guess the way I would equate it to is if you have a goal and you can't reach the goal anymore, it looks like you've quit on the coach, but I think it was kind of a collective. You know, where can they get to now? 8-8, perfect season. They finished the rest of the year 7-0. Mm-hmm. It's not happening, but that can happen. Mm-hmm. What did that do? What happened there? So some pride. Did you play for your coach? Did you rally? Did you play better? I feel like they knew where they wanted to go. They now can't get there. They're also not as good. I don't think they care for their coach. I think it's all of it combined.
But let's go back to last week. What about these reports from Josina Anderson getting text messages from players within the locker room?
No, that's a real deal.
I mean, he's suspending players. Like, yeah. Almost, Janoris Jenkins, go home.
Yeah. Okay,
you want to piss those guys, Antonio Cromartie, of all the guys that you want to piss off, you want to go at those two?
Mm-hmm.
And now Josina's getting text messages from multiple players. He's suspended multiple players, and Josina's getting texts from multiple players. I don't know who the text came from, but I know C comes after A and B. Like, I could put this, you know, puzzle together myself. I think that's where things start to change a little bit, right? The ownership has to look at this differently than they do a coach that's just not getting the job done.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the same thing. Hugh Jackson's not getting the job done. We know that. Hugh Jackson's won one game in 25 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be fired. But I haven't heard anyone on Cleveland say, yeah, they're incompetent. And we saw it firsthand with DeShone Kizer yesterday right before the half. We all saw it. I don't hear the stuff coming out of that organization that we hear coming out of New York.
Right.
Is it because of the expectations? Maybe.
Yeah, because I think the difference, like, is Kyle Shanahan getting it done? Or is it they have the same amount of wins? I feel like they're competing, but they have zero expectations.
But don't you believe that that team is playing their ass off? The San Francisco 49ers, they're giving everything they have.
I do believe
week
so.
After week after week.
Yeah.
You can watch them lose 9 games and still think, I mean, through most of them, they're trying. Like,
right.
They're not mailing it in. You had a guy like Louis Riddick, who was a front office person in the NFL, who covers the NFL now for ESPN. I watched a team quit today.
Mm-hmm.
I watched players on a team quit. If he sees it,
yeah,
then it's there. It's not wild Giants fans' imaginations.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
It's not guys like us looking for a storyline, watching, oh, well, this is really bad. Well, what's the reason? Well, they must have quit on McAdoo. No, these are football people saying, no, something's not right here. And that's where we're at.
And then conversely, though, if that's – and I do believe we're closer to that being the case. They've quit on him. Do you want those guys on your team going forward with the greatest coach next year inserted in New York?
Right. And exactly. No. And that's where I go back to where we were last year. You bring in a new coach, suddenly are you 11-5 again?
Right. Which is what McAdoo did.
Does all the turmoil from this season just erase because you have someone else in there?
Yeah.
I don't think that it does.
But combined with a healthy Odell Beckham, Marshall.
That is so important to point out.
Because maybe if they're healthy.
Odell Beckham is a.
Do they have 3 wins? 4 wins? Still not good. But do they have the same record?
Yeah.
Because if they do, then they've definitely quit.
I don't know.
I mean, then that's what's going on. But I'm leaning more towards that. I'm just trying to talk this one through.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. Yeah. I'm trying to run back their games in my head and figure out how big of a difference.
We can't even remember their win.
Well, exactly. Jay, thanks for the call, my man. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys, on the flip side of the whole situation is New York. I think one of the storylines that's not being talked about enough in the NFL this year is how about the change of head coaches down in Los Angeles with McVay taking over Fisher and taking over that same bus quarterback called Jared Goff in the year that guy's having.
Absolutely. No, you're 100% right. I love it. I mean, I love everybody except the Dallas Cowboys right now. Hmm. I love the Rams. I love the Eagles. I like what they're doing down there in Los Angeles a lot. And I'm a strong, even with Doug Peterson and the Eagles, I'm a strong proponent for.
Guys, even more than just the record, if you look at the fact that under Fisher, I think they were averaging, and don't call me on this, but I mean, I think it was 12, 14 points a game. These guys are scoring 40, 50 points a game. Granted, they added a couple wide receivers, but what McVay's done in Los Angeles, I don't know if it's happened that often in the NFL where you've seen a team not just flip their record, but go from a team that was that inept to a team now that's like, I think they're leading the league in scoring. It's
yes, sir.
Amazing.
Yep, they absolutely are. We appreciate you, Jay. Thank you so much for that. And there's some great stuff there. And thank you for listening. Yeah,
they were boring.
Number one in point differential. Yeah. I think I'm just thinking back to my notes, Jay. You were close. I think it was 16.1 was the amount of points that they were averaging last year. They've already scored more total points this year. They did it last week, actually. They had scored more total points this year than they had all of last season.
That's crazy.
And, a biggest point differential in the entire league. And, that is, Philadelphia was off this week. That's worth pointing out. And, highest rated offense.
Still 7 to go, too. And it just keeps seemingly getting better.
And it doesn't feel like there's – like, I think 3 out of their first 4 games – they had scored in the 40s. One of them was against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. One of them, maybe they didn't get to 40 with the Cowboys, but I know it was awfully close if they didn't. But I remember I was like, maybe this isn't a good enough sample size.
Yeah.
But it sure feels like they're scoring a lot of points. But yet here we are, 33 against the Texans. Remember the Texans' mm-hmm. defense was supposed to be something? Got 355 yards yesterday, 3 touchdowns, not a single mistake.
Yeah.
Not a single interception.
So confident, right? He's got to be because
this was the guy who was portrayed as an absolute buffoon on Hard Knocks last year.
Well, and
or
even
at least
when
for
he
a
played,
couple episodes.
He didn't look very good. He didn't seem to be like, where's the upside here? Now he looks like a different guy.
He, in 8 games?
Or 9.
9. Total. 9 games has destroyed Jeff Fisher.
Yep.
Like, just
absolutely.
Jeff Fisher's what? I'm sorry. Please look at my 9 games from the 2017 season.
And McVay's done a lot of that.
Too. Oh, absolutely. Like,
same team.
Absolutely.
Different coach.
Absolutely. You got a best and worst of the weekend?
Yeah, one of my best. We touched on it earlier, but the totality of just getting a win, but the 49ers, the way they celebrated on the sideline, the way they celebrated in the locker room, they haven't had a lot of good moments. But at home, they still didn't have a huge crowd, but they took advantage of a team that, whether it's not fully engaged, it doesn't matter what happens. The 49ers dominated that game, and hey, it's only one win, but that just feels good. Feels good to win, to break losing streaks. They are working. They are committed to getting better. It's not happening overnight for them. But you can see that if they continue to draft well, coach these guys up, they'll get there. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But it was good for them to have that feeling.
I love the post-game stuff in the locker room. I thought that was fantastic. And I'm glad that a camera was rolling somewhere that got to be shared. That was really cool because, we spent a lot of time here the last few minutes talking about coaches. And we've talked about how hard it appears San Francisco is playing and the difference between if the Giants go out and win this week. I know it's their second win. It's not their first. That was Kyle Shanahan's first win as a head coach in the NFL. So I understand it's a little bit different. Do you think they're do you think anyone in the Giants locker room is celebrating a win like that?
No.
And again, I understand the two circumstances are completely different. But what I'm saying is the San Francisco 49ers wouldn't celebrate that way for a guy that they don't desperately want to win for.
Yep.
And I love that. I love seeing that. You know, my current boss, I love him. I will run through a wall for my current boss. And, like, I'll pop champagne and do all of that stuff for him. That hasn't always been the case. That hasn't always been the case. Another best of the weekend, something we haven't touched on yet, Jason. The Boston Celtics, 12 straight wins. First of all, they beat Toronto yesterday, 95-94, without Kyrie at all. And they held on to win the game before with, like, I think that's where Kyrie got the concussion diagnosed. It's Charlotte. And, you know, I had said Friday, part of the Friday Five, Jay Ross, was, would we be coming in here Monday talking about 12 straight games for the Boston Celtics? This was with Kyrie.
Right.
And I thought we would. And they came back and beat Charlotte. That's good. And then I watched watching that Toronto game, man. That team is clicking.
Yeah, if you told me though Kyrie would miss a portion of the other game and all of this, I would say no way. Mm-hmm. There's losing Hayward. They've got other guys, but you're right. They have found something together that's fun to watch.
Keep those texts coming at 44-11-40. I'm feeling super positive. We don't even have to do the worst.
Okay.
You got a good worst? Is it a really good one?
I don't know if it's a really good one, but it's that's fine. We don't have to do it.
Nah, maybe we can share some worst. I don't know. Well, actually, part of what we have coming up is one of the worst. And if you were with us Friday at 1 o'clock, you know we had an extended conversation about concussions and about the way the NFL is handling things. Well, for the second time since Thursday, there's been a breach in the concussion protocol system. We'll explain that. And you mentioned Andrew Luck earlier, how that story may have gotten weirder. That's all coming up here on The Lowdown. Kara Lawson of the Washington Wizards broadcast team is going to join us here in just about 30 minutes. We'll talk about the Kings and the Wizards. Didn't really talk about I don't know that there is much to talk about, Jay Ross. They lost to the Knicks, a very hot Knicks team on Saturday. Couldn't stretch that win streak to 3 in a row. Will the Kings win? Will that be the Kings' longest win streak of the season?
No.
You said that really quick.
Yep, confident they will have a 3-gamer.
Three games. Are you sure? We were really excited. We had the parade route ready. You weren't here Friday.
I was circling the route.
Checking it out? Yeah. What'd you think?
Pretty safe. It looks good.
Safe?
Yeah.
I assume it ends at the Golden 1 Center.
Oh, of course.
Just circles around the Golden 1 Center. All right. But yeah, Kings lost to a Knicks team that's playing surprisingly well. LeBron James had some things to say about the New York Knicks. We'll get those to you before this hour ends. As I mentioned, we're out of here at 2:30. We're going to get you ready for the Kings and the Wizards. Really, you got a whole lot of you got an extended pregame show here with Jay Ross coming back here at 3:30. You'll have Kings Live from 2:30 to 3:30, and then as I said, we'll have Kara at 2. So that's a whole lot of Kings coverage coming up here in just a bit. I wish you could have been here on Friday. We were having a discussion that centered around Russell Wilson and how the Seahawks seemed to kind of skirt concussion protocol in that Thursday night game against Arizona. And the conversation got a bit spirited at times, and it kind of evolved. It evolved into, you know, painkillers. You know, another thing that caught my attention was Richard Sherman. He had torn his Achilles, but he was kind of standing on the sidelines. He was walking around at various points, which brought up, you know, the injections that those guys get and some of the different things and how I think the NFL has a lot of problems. And I brought back the Bob Costas line of cracks in the foundation.
Right.
By the way, did you see that Costas was essentially publicly scolded for that by NBC?
No.
NBC tried to distance itself as far away. Remember, NBC, the NFL's chief partner, had said, you know, those are Bob Costas's opinions, and we do not share those opinions with Bob. And, you know, that's one of the great things about Bob is he has opinions, and That's his. That's not ours. We're very pleased with the NFL. And,
it's just like,
they're trying to get as far away from that remark that Bob Costas made as they possibly could. And, you know, as I mentioned, Jay, the discussion went on significantly longer than had planned. But a lot of different viewpoints were coming in. And here we are, Monday. And we saw, you know, we were talking about the Steelers a few moments ago and the Steelers and the Colts and the Steelers playing down to their opponents and all that different stuff. And one of the storylines, this was a very close game that ended, I think, as time expired,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Game winning kick, yep.
Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, skirted concussion protocol in damn near the same exact manner that Russell Wilson did on Thursday night. The difference is he's in concussion protocol now. So he went in, he peeked his head into the tent, came out after being told to leave the game, went back in, finished the game, and after the game was put into concussion protocol. This system it's either broken or it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And we speculated when they first implemented this, when the NFL first implemented this concussion protocol system, whether it was legit or not. And I think we have enough. Oh, it's an independent neurologist. It's a league appointed, blah, 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 blah. This is nonsense. This whole thing is absolute nonsense. And yesterday, the incident was with Jacoby Brissett, what we saw Thursday night from Russ. It's just the latest examples of what we've seen. Case Keenum, before he's had this good year with Minnesota, he was most famous for being knocked unconscious, yeah, or damn near unconscious, and stood up, thinking about the Christmas story or whatever. God knows what was going through that poor kid's mind. And not even, oh, we didn't notice. That was
we did.
Not to, gosh, it sounds like I hate the guy. That was Jeff Fisher.
It was.
We didn't notice. What do you mean? There are spotters. There's people who are supposed to see that. Okay. It's you. You're supposed to notice. You're supposed to see that stuff. This system is broke, man. And this march towards making football safer, it's not working. It's not working at all.
Well, and those are two incredible examples of players saying their will, where, you know, teams are trying to win. We get it. Everybody, you know, these games are important to these organizations and to the individuals and all that. But are they trying to really honor safety and look after safety as much as they tell us they are? And if so, I really do believe the league wants that, but you're not implementing it. You're not forcing it. You're not making that a standard practice on the sideline, because I would think maybe even 99 out of 100 players will say, I'm fine. That's
of course,
not enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, great. Are you fine? I mean, if they are, that's one thing. But if they're not, and especially to go into concussion protocol after, really tells you that they weren't fine. So they've got to either have a stricter regimen on the sideline or some other mandatory rule. But I don't know how you really – I don't know that you can have a mandatory rule of a belief of concussion that the player's out. There's supposed to be baseline measurements and all that on the sideline, but it's just not being implemented accurately.
And how much – it's not – the head, so it's not going to get as much attention. But what about this Marty Bennett story?
Right.
Like, so the Packers waived him for misleading information or whatever. He says, oh, you know what? He tells his agent, tell teams, don't claim me. I'm just going to have surgery, get my shoulder. I was going to be done anyways. Well, Bill Belichick calls. It's, oh, wait, what? Okay. He played yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Not only did he play,
a
I mean, he,
catches.
He wasn't bad. I mean, right. You know, he's the second tight end on the New England Patriots. He was fine. He was there. They didn't need him. They destroyed the Broncos. They could have destroyed the Broncos with you and me at the tight end position. But what?
Right.
So you were cut from a team because they said you were being deceitful or whatever the case was, failure to disclose something. But you can play a couple of days later for another team.
Fishy.
This all stinks, man.
Right.
This all stinks, and it just goes back to the – you know, we were talking about how people, like, they don't care, right? We want bigger, faster, stronger. Like, that's what we want. We want these guys to just plow into each other. And the people that get upset, oh, it's damn near flag football now. And there's a lot of people that I really respect who feel that way. But they're all old school people, right? Like, Mike Wilbon's one of my favorite guys. Like, he's a Chicago guy, but he's older. And he feels like, oh, we're damn near playing flag football. What I say to those people who say football is, it's just not what it used to be. There's too many rules. There's too many this. Put some pads on and go run into somebody else with pads on.
Yeah.
And completely legal, right? Make a completely legal tackle. Tell me that stuff doesn't hurt. Do that stuff on a weekly basis for 60 minutes. Not counting practice, not counting none of that stuff. Go do that. You can only make football so safe, right? It's violent. Like, absolutely. There's just no way around it. It's a violent game. But you have to do better than what happened with Russell Wilson and Jacoby Brissett.
Correct.
You have to do that. If you want to fudge knees and ankles and risk, Richard Sherman, if you want to, hey, you know what? I'll deal with it. You said 10 times out of 10 or 9 times out of 10, athletes are going to say, I'll just deal with it. I'll play through it. Put the needle in there. Give me – numb it. Like, just do it. I'll do it. Like, we got to win this game. It's a must win. We're fighting for this playoff spot. Fine. You know, everybody makes those decisions. But when it comes to the head, you got to draw the line there. Because when you start getting to the point – I've said this before, and I'll repeat this until, God forbid, I hope it never happens. No one's going to care. The people watching it on NBC or Fox or on TV, they're not going to care. The people in the stadium aren't going to care. Roger Goodell and his $50 million in his jet for life. They're not going to care until a player, a notable one, dies on the field because of a hit. Until that happens, there's not going to be change. It's only the most drastic action that causes change. I actually have a good example for you. I'll give it to you next here on the loading. Couple of more things before Kara Lawson joins us in Washington, D.C., where Mid-Range City invades the nation capital. Your Sacramento Kings and Washington Wizards coming up here on Sports 1140 at 4 o'clock. Kara Lawson, member of the Washington Wizards broadcast team, will be with us in just about 15 minutes. I feel like we got a lot to touch on over here before the top of the hour. I just want to mention one more thing. I had said I felt like it was going to take a player to die on the field before a radical change was made. Wrestling fans know that it was, I think, 12 years ago today that Eddie Guerrero passed away. And Eddie Guerrero, at the time that he died, was a massive star. At that time, wrestlers were dying pretty damn regularly. Young wrestlers were dying pretty regularly. When Eddie died, that was the first time they publicly made a change. It was like, okay, we're going to institute this policy. Now, you can roll your eyes at the policy, and you can say they only put certain people, like only certain people are accustomed to, you know, are asked to adhere to what the policy says and different things like that. You could do all of that. But the number of wrestler deaths has gone significantly down since that policy has been implemented. If you ever worked for WWE, they'll send you and you have a drug problem or an alcohol problem or some sort, they'll send you there on their dime. If you work there for a month, if you work there for a match, they will send you to whatever rehab facility, to whatever doctor, to whatever you need to get yourself healthy.
So that's the policy they implemented?
It's a long-tier policy that, again, many wrestling fans know. Like, a lot of them will roll their eyes at it. But when you look at the totality of it, you realize it has worked. It has absolutely worked. And that's what we're talking about with the NFL. It's going to take something incredibly high-profile, probably on the field, for any sort of change to be made, because this concussion protocol has proved just in the last 5 days it's nonsense.
Right.
It's what we all thought it was. There was going to be ways to skirt it, and now they've skirted it twice on national television, including on a Thursday night game where all football fans are watching.
There's super red zone. High profile.
There's no red zone. There's no none of that. You're watching that game, and you saw that tent go up. Russell Wilson, you saw him pop up. I got to get back out there and run right out. Let's touch on a couple of other things. We mentioned Teddy Bridgewater back with the Minnesota Vikings. After 442 days of not being able to play, The Jaguars, they were unable to get a sack yesterday. It's amazing. They were not able to get their hands on Phillip Rivers.
But still won.
You know, we had kind of done, we were going uber positive earlier. We both did a bunch of best of the weekend. My worst was the Jaguars offense. Like, I just can't think, I can't stop thinking about what Jacksonville might be if they had a more competent quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just because that's where the running game is good, defense is really good, and Bortles had a year where he seemed like he was a guy that was going to be a part of their future, but really it's been 1 year, and they need more than just one season a couple years ago out of him.
I was, Damien, just wondering if you knew that Jason Garrett sucks, because he does. That's a text on the text line. I don't think he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's.
You'd like him to run the ball more.
I would like him to run the ball a whole lot more. And I always wonder, is that Linehan's call or is that Jason Garrett's call? Because it feels like a Jason Garrett call because Jason Garrett's always done it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, isn't Linehan going to step up and say, hey, nah, player, Alfred Morris is okay.
Yeah.
We need to let him run the ball a little bit.
Should.
Granted, the fact our offensive line is getting trashed. Tennessee Titans. I think we mentioned them at some point today. They've won four in a row. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that their last three victories have come by a total of 10 points?
I did not know that.
Your Tennessee Titans, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Four straight wins, last three, a total of 10 points.
Well, at least they're wins because, you know, that team is still in a tie for first with Jacksonville.
I had mentioned Eli Manning earlier and, you know, the Giants ownership group had put out a message. Eli started his 208th straight game yesterday. It ties Peyton for second. Do you think they let him break the record, his brothers, because he's 90-some-odd games away, which
that's five plus seasons.
Yeah, he's a while away from that, from Brett Favre's. Do they let him get to second and then they sit him?
I don't know what for. Davis Webb, I mean.
Davis Webb, Davis Webb, Jason, you haven't heard?
The phenom
that is Davis Webb?
They've got a whole bunch of issues in New York, whether they want to keep their coach, their quarterback, all that. I mean, unless you feel like Davis Webb is your future, which I don't think they do, then no, I don't sit Eli at all.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I'm just trying to take a quick look. We mentioned the Saints rolled a 7-2. The Saints right now, the Vikings, they're really up there. I think this is worth repeating, Jason. The Saints, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Rams. Those are the NFC division leaders right now.
And if you're from the Saints' perspective, remember when they were 0-2, but their losses are to Minnesota and New England. So two really good teams. They've taken care of everyone else. This last week to blow out Buffalo in Buffalo the way they did it with the ground attack and a defense that is getting so much better, that's what's been the biggest surprise to me about the Saints.
I mentioned this. I want to make sure we pay it off. Andrew Luck. The Andrew Luck story may have gotten a little stranger.
Mm-hmm.
He started to apparently seek treatment on his surgically repaired right shoulder in Europe. Because that means everything is totally normal.
Yeah.
Peyton has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe's done it. Kobe!
And is that because of different treatment, different ways they do it, different medicine, different laws, all the above?
Professional athletes, including Peyton Manning and Kobe Bryant, have traveled to Europe in the past to get non-traditional treatment for injuries. Luck is in the rehab process of trying to get his shoulder balanced. Kobe, if I recall, was it had something to do with, I feel like it was a different form of PRP that platelet-rich plasma thing.
Yeah, that's what,
like,
it was.
He was the first person that I remember doing that. And then he went and did it, and then, you know, Andrew Bynum started having knee problems. Kobe was like, hey, let's go to Europe together. Let's get all this stuff fixed. And, I think when you start going overseas when you were supposed to be back like 3 months ago, there's more to this story that they've just decided they're not going to share with us.
Yeah.
LeBron is in New York.
Not so subtle. Yeah,
he's taking shots at a particular bus/subway riding former president.